Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor. I'm here with a special co-host, my husband, Norm, who's filling in. Thanks for filling in, Norm.
Well, I'm sorry Chris is sick, but I'm awfully happy to be here.
Every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
Happy weekend before Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, Linda, but something about this holiday is so warm and so inviting and so family-focused, and it hasn't been hijacked by the commercialism of Christmas and Easter and some of those other holidays. I love it. You know, we're getting ready to get in the car and head up to Maine to see your father, our annual trek.
This is our annual trek that begins in Maine and at Christmas ends in Florida. We do all of 95.
It's like if you bought a new car, you would put 3,000 miles on it twice a year. Boom.
But it's so worth it because we're going to see family. We're going to see my almost 96-year-old father.
Right.
And we're going to have everybody there, the whole family this time.
And what's so fun about it is that every year you say to me and to the kids, this may be the last time with Papa. And it's always true. And yet, wow, God has given him such a long and productive and healthy life.
Yeah. I mean, we're very fortunate to have my dad at the age of 95, and he's with it. He's able to play games and do all the things that we always do at Thanksgiving, except for our one tradition, which we'll get to later. He's not able to participate.
He can't do that one anymore.
Yeah.
So should we talk about traditions? Let's do that today.
Because that's part of what this is all about, right? For me, Norm, and you can relate to this because you've been in the kitchen, especially when my grandmother was alive.
Oh my.
The smell of the kitchen.
Yep.
And I love the way it's all organized. I come from a very big family, and we've got the one aunt who does the rolls, the one who does the turkey, the one who does the pies.
Your other aunt did all the other pies, and she kept the secret ingredient out so no one knew and couldn't replicate her pies.
That was Aunt Mart.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
She's with Jesus now, so she can tell Jesus the secret ingredient, but none of the other aunts could ever figure it out.
But my mom made the absolutely best pies. They could have opened up a bakery, couldn't they?
Absolutely. And she would have been mega wealthy and successful, and you would have not been able to carry on the tradition.
Well, I haven't tried. My issue is that I never really tried because she always did such a great job.
Her crusts were divine.
They were divine. For those of you listening in the Minnesota area, remember Poppin' Fresh?
Right.
Up there, my mom could have competed with those
absolutely
pies. So good.
Right.
And then I loved that my grandmother was a part of that, and she would help, and she'd make those kuchens and those nut strudels.
And you know what
she would do
when we were first married?
Coffee.
I would sit in the kitchen while she was baking and making that stuff, and she would tell me these great old stories of the family and how they came over from the old country. And she wasn't a talkative lady,
but while she was baking,
she'd open up.
I know, that is when she talked to you, isn't it, when
she
did that. But I've heard a lot of millennials say, we don't have any traditions.
I don't think it's millennials, because I grew up on the mission field, and we didn't have U.S. holiday traditions like we do here in the States, which is probably why I loved it so much being in your family.
Yeah. So let's listen to what one millennial had to say about Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving, I normally wake up early and go with my friends' families surfing.
Surfing.
Okay. Nice to live where it's warm.
Yeah. So those of you in Minnesota, don't try this.
Do not try this at home.
As a family tradition. Well, here's another interesting one.
As Canadians invented the tradition of Thanksgiving because we believe in giving thanks for what we are blessed for, we celebrate every year in October by eating a turkey and a ham together at the same time with potatoes and stuffing and gravy. It is delicious, and we go around the table and we say what we're thankful for.
Well, I tell you what, it sounds like our friends in Canada think they invented the whole tradition of Thanksgiving.
I'm not sure she understands.
No, it's okay. It's good. I'm glad they celebrate with us, although they do it a month early. That's okay. But let's talk about Jamestown, and let's talk about Plymouth.
And the original Thanksgiving.
You know what? Sometimes traditions just blend together. And families blend things, and traditions and countries blend things. Or in Latin America, they do say Dia de Gracia, which is Day of Giving Thanks, but it's nowhere near what it is here in America.
Because it doesn't have the same roots in terms of what
that means. No, because it wasn't the pilgrims coming over and celebrating.
What do they do in Central America for giving
things? Honestly, I have no idea because we never celebrated it.
Uh-oh. Hope you don't feel bad, Mom, for never doing that. Okay. Even with those who might be difficult in the family, because we do have that when we come to Thanksgiving, we have those difficult family members that sometimes show up. They're still family, and those holiday traditions are an important part. of building bonds mm-hmm. with our family mm-hmm. members. They connect us. They give us community. They give us a sense of belonging and a way to express what's important to us. And they do connect us to our history. We do talk a little bit about what the original purpose is, and then they connect us to our family at the same time. So I think traditions and building that with your family is so important.
It's very important, from my perspective, to create memories. And you talk about that with our kids all the time. Let's create some memories, because you have so few opportunities to do that. And Thanksgiving is one of those great ones, because often you're with the same people in the same place, and sometimes only once a year. And so that creates a symbolic time of being together, and it creates an opportunity to have the memories. And how many times have we said, oh, Nana used to do it that way, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. Nana used to say, or Aunt Betty used to say. And there's this remembering that is deeply ingrained in who we are.
Part of it is that children really long for comfort and security. And that's what traditions do. They bring that kind of comfort and that security and that predictability. And as we talk to our kids, they know what's coming. Mm-hmm. They know what we're going to do for that day, but they know there are certain things that we always do, and that gives them a wonderful way to be anchored in a culture where people are constantly saying, I feel disconnected and detached to real people. Kids might not be able to explain it, but they sure do feel the importance of those traditions.
I think so, too. And when you can pass along your family traditions, what they don't realize is you're passing along family values.
Yeah.
And you're understanding who you are as a family. And so a lot of times when a new wrinkle is introduced, they're like, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
Then there's a whole new opportunity to explain how you do something new.
What I like about Thanksgiving Day is it does give us a day to take stock of ourselves, to acknowledge who we've chosen to be in our families, in our community, mm-hmm. to underline for ourselves how we're doing with each other, to be with those we love or care about. There is no way for even the most jaded person to be cranky about a holiday, and especially this one where the whole focus is on giving thanks.
Right. And the other thing about these traditions that happen once a year, for example, is it helps give a sense of marking time, kind of like we talked about with your dad.
Yeah.
The problem is, for me, as I get older, they show up much more often.
Yes,
it seems like they're
like
faster and faster. Yeah.
It was just
We were just in Maine, weren't we?
But I love that it's a marker of time, and you begin to take stock of that. That is a really great, great thing.
And then another thought I have is that I can help my family get over this crass commercialism like mm-hmm. we talked about earlier, because we can do these things our way in our home or in our family's environment, and we can say this is how we do it, regardless of what Hallmark wants us to think.
That's right. So no one tells you that you can't pray at Thanksgiving or give thanks as a group or focus on the true meaning of not only Thanksgiving, but Christmas and Easter and other important holidays.
So Thanksgiving's almost here. You still have a little bit of time, a few more days to make some plans and think of some new creative ideas of how to do this and how you're going to continue your great traditions of the past. Stay with us. We're going to talk more about family and tradition and Thanksgiving. Be right back.
You can learn more from Relationship Dr. Linda Mental on her website, drlindamental.com.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm Dr. Norm Mental. I get to hang out with you this weekend. We're talking about all sorts of great traditions for Thanksgiving and maybe some ideas for folks who are listening who may be looking for new ideas or may be starting a family and don't have any traditions.
Yeah, we want you to have traditions because we think they're very, very important. So here's an interesting one. I don't know that we do this. A lot of families will get up on Thanksgiving morning and they'll do this indulgent breakfast.
No, we don't eat at all.
I can't afford the calories. I'm saving it all up for the
big
meal.
That's right, the big one. Yeah, that's right.
Wait, we did do something. We did make cinnamon rolls for years.
That's true.
We did that with coffee.
Here's something a person wrote in about the beginning of their day on Thanksgiving. She said, my Thanksgiving morning ritual is to make myself a good, strong cup of black coffee.
Yes.
And start making pumpkin pies. Pie baking is something that always grounds me and makes me feel relaxed. And whether I'm making the entire feast or just the dessert, it's something I need to make to prove that it's really Thanksgiving. So once I have the pie going and I know everything else will be just fine, then I can make a proper breakfast because I know I have the pie in the oven.
That's great.
That's pretty good.
No, I like that. Right. Yeah, I think I would do something very tiny for
breakfast. I think you always get up early and put the turkey in.
I do. That's part of my job is getting up, making sure the turkey's in there when it's at our house.
Right.
And starting the prep of the bird. It's like the house is quiet. It's dark. I love that feeling of I'm in charge of it all and starting to make it happen, and then the house begins to smell like turkey.
Oh, that's the best.
Here's what another person wrote. I've always helped my mom first thing in the morning to prep the bird and make the stuffing before going back home for coffee, breakfast, and the parade in the background. She says, my husband and I enjoy spending the lazy morning at our house before joining my sisters and their families at my mom's house. This year, it will be all the more special given that we have a 9-month-old daughter to help keep us company.
Nice. Well, there'll be some new traditions there. Here's a different spin on how you prepare a turkey. Let me know if you want to try this one next time.
So my family is generally very traditional. We have lots of different dishes that we make every single year. But just recently, we developed a tradition that instead of cooking the turkey in the oven, we put that sucker on the grill, lather it up with some Sweet Baby Ray's, and we barbecue our turkey.
I love grilling, but...
Put that sucker on the grill.
Slap that bird.
Put that bird on and slap it with some barbecue
sauce.
You know,
we had friends who would deep fry them.
We did in Chicago.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
A lot of people, though, started fires. But they did it and they loved it. They said it was really good deep fried. We didn't get to taste it. That takes a lot of work.
It does.
A lot of oil.
And a lot of prep time. Some people have traditions at the table. They speak words of gratitude. They pray what they're thankful for. We kind of do that.
Yeah. Well, here's what Sarah writes. She says, the most important part of Thanksgiving for my family is what we call the circle of love. We hold hands in a circle of sorts. We usually have about 50 people.
Wow.
So we're really winding through several rooms when they're holding hands. But then they say a prayer and we remember family members who have passed on. And anyone can chime in with a prayer or thanks.
I
like
that. I do, too. We do that a lot at Christmas with our kids
yeah,
and our family. We talk about what we're grateful for the year and what God has done and what we're looking forward to in the new year. I think that works at Thanksgiving just as well.
I think we need to add in the people who have gone. That would be a really nice touch. Of course, in my family, everybody will start crying.
For most people, I think the meal is the focus of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody's finished and then we've got to do something to keep from going to sleep. In your family, the men go in the TV room, and the women, I don't know what you do because I always went to watch football.
I always wanted to watch the football game, too. And it was always the traditional Lions and Bears.
Years ago,
yeah,
the Lions
always
played every Thanksgiving,
yeah,
right?
And you and I would always be the Bears fans, and then everybody in our family was the Lions fans. That was always a fun,
contentious... Outnumbered, but we got very loud just to compensate.
And the women didn't want to watch football. We would go and do cards. We always had a huge group of people that was playing cards.
And and very competitive.
Oh,
your family
gosh.
Was crazy competitive.
We're so competitive. Take a listen to this family's tradition that includes a little bit different game.
So our Thanksgiving tradition for my family is we have a huge family on my mom's side. So we all come together. We all bring a dish and we all have a great time. And then we play a game where we put oven mitts on our hands and try to open a present to get like a gift card or something. So, yeah.
Oven mitts.
Oven mitts.
We could do that.
Dexterity. I like that. We're trying
mitts.
For it, right? Some people go for walks as a family. We did that one year. I remember we had a lot of guests over and
we
all
did.
Went for a walk.
It was
nice. Really nice. I think that was Easter, but still works because you're trying to work off this huge meal.
And that tryptophan in the turkey, which is making you want to go to sleep.
I would have loved to have done this on a farm when your Uncle Fritz was alive and go on a hayride or something with the tractor.
With hot cider and make that really nice.
That would have been fun. Here's an ambitious family's idea. idea of a great way to end their day.
For Thanksgiving, my family plays football after we go on a run, 5K turkey trot.
5K? Are you kidding me?
5K. Okay.
That's not a trot. That's a heart
That's
attack.
That's a long walk. No, we could do that if we trained.
Well, yeah, maybe.
The year.
I'm not sure we could do that in Maine. I guess it depends on the weather.
So this tells you a little bit more about my family. We don't do 5Ks.
No.
We do bowling.
Bowling, that's right.
We do bowling.
We used to.
It is our Thanksgiving tradition. It was so much fun. Most of us never bowled during the year at all.
Never.
We didn't have a clue what we were doing, yet we had those couple uncles, remember?
Right.
They had their own ball.
Right.
They had their own shoes.
And a bag.
And that was serious.
Right. Oh, serious. Because remember, let's talk competition here.
And they were part of a league.
Yeah. See,
they're
part
of a bowling league. And we would be up there. And if I got that thing down and it didn't go into a gutter, I was feeling good. That was a little bit of a
challenge. I remember after three games of bowling, your arm would hurt for days.
Do you know what? It was so much fun because we were all so bad and we'd laugh and we would all get together first time in probably a long time that the cousins would go together. That was a wonderful time.
And I loved it that we took the kids with us.
Yeah.
It was multi-generational.
Yeah.
Here are a couple other ideas to get the kids involved because they really need to be,
doing something.
I hope, focused on what's coming up and doing something. Print up a paper that says, I'm thankful for, and leave a blank. And every day in November, have your kids fill in the blank and then read some of the answers at the meal.
Yeah, that's good. Now, you only have a few days to do that.
So
you're going to have
up.
To do a few days' worth. Or you could make a gratitude box out of an old shoebox. And you could decorate the box with the kids and put a slit in it. And every day from now until Thanksgiving, which is just a few days, you could have every person in the family write down something that that person is thankful for and put it in the box.
And you know what would be fun? Don't put your name on it and try and guess
who said that. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be fun.
And you can change. The reason I like the box thing is because you can change it for the season. So you can change it for Christmas, still do a gratitude box. I think that's a good one. Or you could cook. You and I have had lots of experience with this one. You could cook a few original colonial foods and tell the kids and talk to them. Remember we had to do that
for our kids' their schools. They love the tradition.
And they would cook eel and squirrel.
Oh, please.
I just remember those two. And we had to eat that stuff. And the meal was so bad.
I was really happy that Dad was working and couldn't go to school that day for the special feast. They called it a feast.
They did call
it
the Thanksgiving feast. The food was not so great because it was original food, but we'd always sneak in some pies and some other things that people would eat. But what I loved is that there were some colonial crafts. We would do weaving and pottery making, and the kids would do arrows with the archery guy, and they would do all the original things that the settlers would do during that time.
The campfire.
On the campfire, and that's where the guy was cooking the squirrel. That's what kind of goes to see the squirrel hanging on the campfire. And somehow I'm thinking that's traumatizing the kids.
Yeah.
Not helping them, but poor little squirrel in our yard. He's now our Thanksgiving dinner. It's just wrong.
We don't have a strong sense of what it was like originally.
We don't. And how difficult it was in that first Thanksgiving.
That's right.
We've been up to a couple of the places to see where the original Thanksgiving was.
So the good news is we create our own new traditions, and they become embedded and they become important to our family. I hope you've picked up a few ideas during the last few minutes. And remember, you need to create your own memories with your family. Do that. It's going to be great. More when we get back. We'll be right back.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mento offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
Hey, I know it's hard to believe, but the holiday season is just around the corner. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor. And can I just say that some relationships can be really stressed during the holiday season? You know, it's not too early to think and pray about what you want the holidays to look like this year. Here are a few quick points to ponder. Set a budget. You do yourself a great service when you decide in advance how much you'll spend and how. Discuss your plans with friends and family. If you wait too long, you may find yourself overcommitted or someone's feelings are hurt because you don't show up where you're expected. Talking about it now takes away a lot of the tension that can come up later. And focus on why we celebrate. Try being thankful for the whole month of November and begin now to acknowledge the significance of Jesus' birth in your life. You don't want to wait until December 25th to celebrate Him. With a little planning and a lot of prayer, you can enjoy the holidays instead of stressing through the season.
So you don't tweet and you don't post? No problem. Check out the Relationship Doctor, Dr. Linda Mental, on MyFaithRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. This is our pre-Thanksgiving weekend program. Today, especially, we're talking about family traditions and the importance of those things, and hopefully giving folks some ideas that they can use in their own family. Linda, let's talk a minute about the tradition of serving others on a day when we're thankful for what God has given us, going to a soup kitchen or spending part of the day at a homeless shelter.
And a lot of people do that, and many churches will organize activities like that. If you want to take your Thanksgiving and serve other people, this is a great way to do it. You can take a morning. Mm-hmm. You can take a few hours of your day. You can do this as a family. Take the kids with you.
Great idea.
It's wonderful for kids to see you in a soup kitchen line serving the dinner to the people.
Right.
I think it does more good for the people that are doing the serving than the people who are receiving. But go to a shelter. Get in the line. Help with dishes. Spread some cheer. It'll do your heart good, and it'll be a blessing to others. Let's listen for a moment on what someone else did related to community service.
My favorite Thanksgiving traditions is every Saturday before Thanksgiving, my church hosts a community service project where hundreds of volunteers work jobs such as raking leaves for families in the area. And then those families donate money for the jobs we have done. And then that money is taken and we go shopping at grocery stores to buy groceries for needy families in the area. And then we actually deliver the groceries to those needy families at the very end of the day.
That's a great
idea. It's a really
idea.
Organized effort.
It really is.
With a lot of great layers to it.
I like that. And the notion of sharing your thankfulness, your gratitude is important. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the opportunity to serve comes up in very unexpected ways. Here's this young man's story. This is amazing.
I remember one time we were having our roof repaired, and it was right around Thanksgiving time, and for some reason it wasn't done, and the guys were up on our roof Thanksgiving Day, and so we thought, well, we can't be inside eating Thanksgiving dinner and then be up working on the roof, so we, like, hey, guys, do you want to come on in? So we yelled up to them, they came down, and then we just all had Thanksgiving together with 5-6 random people. We didn't know them, but it was kind of awkward at first, but we got used to it, and we had a lot of fun, so that really sticks out to me.
That's a great story. It would feel weird if they were up there working during the middle of your eating, wouldn't it?
You would especially feel like you were leaving them out, and it would be nice to bring them in and incorporate them into your family tradition.
And I love that he said it was a little awkward at first. Yeah. I might have even taken it up to the roof. I don't know what I would have done. Maybe I would have gone up there and sat with
them. No, you would have made me take it up.
Well, one of the most important traditions, I think, Norm, relates to the whole idea of spending time giving thanks. We've been talking about that. This is the whole purpose of the holiday, and it's something that we need to maintain and do during that time of celebration.
It can be as simple as reminding ourselves before the prayer of things we're thankful for.
Mm-hmm. Or going around in that circle and giving thanks.
I love that.
I like
around
that
the table, I really like
that.
Yeah,
pulling those out from the shoeboxes. Here's a quote from Abraham Lincoln that seems to be really relevant for today. But we have forgotten God. Mm. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined by the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. I think that sounds like today that we need to think about this,
because,
doesn't it?
Yeah, our minds are on so many other things.
Yeah,
and
we've forgotten God.
That's exactly right.
A lot of people think of the turkey, but they don't think about God during this holiday. Remember to be thankful throughout your day and to rehearse your blessings mentally. If you're not saying it out loud, have some moment in your day where you can think about it. For example, I was walking the dog the other day and the sunset was stunning. And I paused and I stopped right there and I thanked God for the beauty of his creation. We have mountains around us and it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at the sunset over the mountain and the beauty and the majesty of what God has created, there are these really small opportunities. every day to be thankful. And we need to do that. We need to rehearse those in our mind and say to the Lord, thank you for right. that moment right. of protection, or thank you for that beautiful sunrise.
I remember often telling our kids, you need to develop an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah,
and that's part of your whole life and how you think. It's harder, though, I think, for some of us to get into that habit. Why is that? Why is it hard to remind ourselves, thank you, God, for painting a beautiful sunset, or thank you for protecting me, or saying to someone in your life, thank you for whatever it is? Why is that so difficult?
I don't know. I was thinking about this with my family. A lot of times we just took it for granted, the good stuff. Mm. And we only focused when there was a problem, which created some issues for a lot of us in the family. We do have a harder time acknowledging the positive. We do tend to focus on the problems mm-hmm. and the negatives mm-hmm. a lot of times, especially when family gets together during a holiday. But if we can shift that and we can speak out words of thanks, it strengthens your immune system. Mm. Lowers wow. your blood pressure, and it makes you more compassionate.
Well, who doesn't need that?
There's power in words, which is why I think right. God tells us
right.
that our words of our mouth need to be acceptable, and that mm-hmm. we should speak and encourage each other. If you tell one person each day something for which you're grateful for, that could be a good start.
Right.
And then see how people respond to you when you do that.
That's perfect. And we should do that at Thanksgiving Day. Let's find something to say to somebody who shows up, what you're thankful about them. And then as we do that, let's put God right in the middle, the front and center in our celebration of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't talk about it, but the Bible talks about gratitude.
So let's read a few scriptures because we're running out of time, and I'd love to get these in. One scripture that I love in Psalms is, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms.
Mm-hmm. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Mm. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. We have a lot to be thankful
for,
don't we?
We sure
I'm thankful for you, Norm. I'm thankful that you came in today. We've had a lot of fun over many, many years of Thanksgiving.
And a lot of Thanksgivings.
We have. And we've rehearsed the goodness of the Lord in those Thanksgiving. But remember, you can be thankful every single day of the year. You don't have to wait for one day of the year to do it. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our social media manager, Cody Gokenhauer, and our post-producer, Chris Underation. And thanks, of course, to you, Norm, for coming in and stepping in, not only my co-host, but my partner for life, who made this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.